Good evening, everyone.
Welcome to Ash Wednesday. And we're going to talk about Ash Wednesday and some of its meanings. One of the things you'll notice as you look at the order of worship, there's no scripture. Ash Wednesday is never mentioned in scripture. Okay? The words self-examination and repentance, prayer, fasting, and self-denial are. Okay? Ash Wednesday is a tradition of the church that started, depending on who you listen to, second or third century of the church. And it was a time to call people together to get ready for Easter. The focus was not on giving up something. The focus was, how do I get ready to celebrate the anniversary of the resurrection? And for most people, okay, most Christians, early on in the church, you know when they were baptized? Easter Sunday morning. Okay? On the anniversary of when Jesus opened the gates of the kingdom of God to everybody. And Lent was an effort to get people to get ready for that anniversary. It started out with people getting ready for their baptism, okay? And then what happened? I have some colleagues that every now and then will do something that they call remember your baptism. And when I do that kind of thing, I actually throw water, okay? But it's getting ready for Easter is remembering our baptism, okay? And getting ready for the anniversary of the resurrection. Now, I know I've beat this drum numerous times, but it's one for us to remember. The reason that we worship on Sunday morning is because it's the weekly anniversary of the resurrection. Okay? I have had people in my life that I dearly love, and the hardest part of my life with them was avoiding arguing about whether it's right to worship on Saturday or on Sunday. And it got to the place where I said to them, look, you celebrate the final day of creation. I celebrate the first day of resurrection. So let's not argue about it. Okay? Now, I will shut up, Nancy.
Are you sure?
Yeah, she's...
Is she here?
No, she's not here.
Oh.
I'm going to hassle her no end.
Probably in front of all of us, too.
No, I'll wait till we get home. Well, she's already gotten her Valentine's gift, so it's like, okay, so is this my reward for your Valentine's gift?
You don't give in order to have payback. So there.
Diane?
It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible, but I'm a guy. We've had this conversation. Oh, they're on their way. They will be here. One of the things, One of the things I have to keep in mind is, have you ever had all of the infrastructure that goes past your house replaced? That's what's going on at our house now. So the road has been torn up every morning for over a month now. Okay. I know she can get out, but I'm not sure that the friend that's driving her knows how to get in. So one of the subjects for tonight is grace, which is the gift of being forgiven. And I better shut up, or I'm going to need a lot of grace.
Yes, you are.
Nancy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Would you please stand and join me for the call to worship? Rend your hearts and not your garments, says the Lord. Turn to the Lord for your God.
For God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
With what shall we come before the Lord and bow ourselves before the God of all creation?
God has shown us what is good and what is required of us, to do justice, to act in fairness, to love kindness, and to live without pretense with God and those around us.
Now, will you please join to number 454, Open My Eyes, the first hymn? Please join me in the celebration of our peace and greet someone with a smile and a kind word before sitting.
Would invite us to conversations with God. There are those of us who are carrying special burdens, and I'm going to mention one of them. Chris heard today that her father-in-law had a mass discovered, and they're waiting for word on just exactly what it is. And so Her father-in-law is Harvey, and her mother-in-law is Dana. Okay. And so keep them, some of you have already been there, so you know. Keep them in prayer. Okay. Yes, Kim. Okay, thank you. Is it Gary Krause?
Yeah.
Gary Krause went to the hospital today. Okay. Okay. And one of the things that we're going to do tonight, okay, is we're going to write down things that we don't want to take to Easter through Lent. One of the things that's fair to do is to say, I don't want to carry my father-in-law's problem with me through Lent, so Lord, fix it. Okay? We'll be talking about this a little more later, but the service tonight is going to be a mix, okay? And it will probably include some things that you haven't done before, okay? And I hope that's okay. The goal of the service is for us to become consciously ready for our journey to the resurrection and the celebration of the resurrection. Let us pray. Our Lord Jesus, tonight we sit. Tonight we start looking at ourselves. We start looking at our world, our lives, and how we deal with those. Tonight, what we do is we get honest. We get honest with ourselves and we get honest with you. Altogether too often, O Lord, we have forgotten what the ashes of Ash Wednesday are all about. The ashes of Ash Wednesday are the reminder that we really need what you did on the cross and through your resurrection. Oh Lord, as we prepare, hear our prayer for Ash Wednesday. Would you join me? Lord, we have almost pushed the busyness out of our lives so we can focus on you. We are almost ready to listen to what you have to say to us, to your call to us. We are almost ready to begin our pilgrimage to the cross, through the tomb, and all the way to the resurrection. We are almost ready to seek inner renewal and a totally new life. Now help us sort out our motives for being here. Help us sweep out the spiritual cobwebs. We need you, blessed Jesus, to pull it all together, to give our lives meaning. When we are low, love us. When we are tired, give us strength. When everything seems to fall apart and looks like we need to start all over, give us hope for ourselves and trust in you. In all ways, give us yourself, because you are Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I think more than any other time, Ash Wednesday is when we need to hear the assurance of God's love. and the forgiveness that comes along with it. We're human, we mess up. As long as we're honest about it and say, okay, God, I messed up, God says, okay, you can start again. The problem that most of us have is our memories are better than God's. We remember our mistakes. We remember those things that we did wrong. We remember those times when we failed, either ourselves or other people. But when we take those things to God and give them to God and say, I did this, oh Lord, forgive me, God says, fine. Now, we may have some cleaning up to do because of the mess we made. I won't lie to you about that. Okay? That's called penance. Okay? That's called penance. Penance is cleaning up the mess we made. Okay? But even then, we don't have to do it all by ourselves. Because God has said to us, Alice, it's so nice for me to be able to pick on you. I love that tune. If that's God, tell her I'll call her back. Yes. Please hear, you are forgiven. Thank you. Thank you ever so much. In the moment we are forgiven, we are ready for the kingdom of God. The question is, will we stay that way? Okay? And part of staying that way are the steps that Jesus gave us in the prayer he taught us to pray. Would you join me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Could we listen to God in silence? For God will speak in turn during prayer. Amen. I'm going to do a commercial. The commercial is for the Book of Worship. Most people in the pew of the United Methodist Church don't even know it exists. It has helps for worship for each day, each holy day, each holiday. A good bit of what we're going to do together, I'm going to be taking from the Book of Worship. The Book of Worship turns our attention to our Lord. It is also a reminder, okay, that we are part of a long-standing tradition of ritual. There are things that we do over and over and over again, not to be dull and boring, but to remind ourselves we need to focus our attention. One of the things that is part of the service for Ash Wednesday is the invitation to the observance of Lenten discipline. You'll see a copy of it in your bulletin, okay? And it's a reminder that early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passing, passion, and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there would be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. Lent. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when people who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. One of those surprising moments in the history of the church and in the history of the Roman Empire is the day that the emperor came before the bishop of Rome, the Pope, in sackcloth and ashes for the sins that he had committed against people, the church, and the empire. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need we all have to renew our faith. For me, the most difficult thing has been moving from that focus on, you know, you've sinned and you need to be forgiven, to letting myself realize that I am forgiven. That's what faith is about. It's realizing we are forgiven. Now, I invite you in the name of the church to observe a holy Lent, okay? And I'm going to give you the definition of holy. I should say Mike's definition of holy. Someone or something is holy if God is present in it. Most of us have a problem that we're hoarders. We hoard so much room in our, we hoard so much in our lives that there's no room left for God. To be holy means we've made room. We do that by self-examination and repentance. Okay? One of the things that I like to say, so often what happens is we think of repentance solely in terms of saying the sinner's prayer. Okay, that's not what it's all about. Jesus was pretty clear. He knew that we, humanity, had turned our backs to God. How do you know that when somebody is ignoring you and doesn't care about you, you turn your back to them? And one of the reasons that I like the Gospel of Mark is because when Jesus came out of the wilderness, he said, the kingdom of God's within reach. It's at your fingertips. Turn around. And it's literally turn around. Turn around. Look God in the face. the whole of relationships change when you look someone in the eyes. There's a psychologist, I think he's still doing it, okay? When there is problems between people, okay, he'll say, I want you to stand in the middle of the room and I want you to look in each other's eyes for 3 minutes. Generally, after 2 minutes, somebody starts laughing. Think about it. Think about it. By prayer, fasting, and self-denial. Okay. What does it mean to pray? I'm reading this little book by a guy that graduated from the same seminary that I did. It's called Holy Silence. Yes, he's a Quaker. And what he does is he walks through the basics of what it means to sit in the presence of God. There's a part of me that's terribly rebellious, and I don't force y'all to do many things, but I force y'all most of the time when we're in worship to at least have a minute of listening to God in silence. What is fasting? What is self-denial? What does that look like? You're getting a lot of side material tonight, okay? My mom and I love my mom, okay? She has celebrated her birthday in heaven, okay? However, we had a phone conversation. Okay, and it was during a time when my brother and sister, both of whom are significantly younger than I, one is 14 years younger and the other one was 16 years younger, and mom called me and she said, you know, I'm having trouble with the kids, and I had to take Jeff, that was my brother, to the hospital because he wrecked his dirt bike. And I said, Mom, he wrecked his dirt bike? And I knew he hadn't bought it himself. I said, Mom, you always told me I couldn't have a dirt bike because I'd hurt myself. You do things for my brother and sister that you never did for me. And I said, after that, she said, you know, Mike, you had such a hard life. And my reply was, I didn't turn out so bad, did I? Click. What are we going, when we talk about giving up, okay, we're not talking about things like candy or meat or other stuff like that. Although we wouldn't have Mardi Gras, okay, if the church hadn't made the rule that no meat during Lent, okay? Because what Mardi Gras is the party that uses up all the meat in the house. Okay. One of the things that Sunday sermon was about was looking at Isaiah and how Isaiah said, when you give something up, when you fast, okay, don't look morbid. Don't look morbid. Don't look like you're dying. Whatever you're giving up, give to somebody else that doesn't have anything. And experience their joy. What a concept. During Lent, we not only do prayer and fasting and self-denial, okay, we think about what that's going to mean. We read and meditate on God's holy word. To make a right beginning of repentance and as a mark of our fragile and very human nature, let us now bow before our Creator and Redeemer in silent prayer and listen to God in silence. Let's do that together. Everybody should have gotten a piece of paper. Okay? It's provided for you on which you are to encourage to write something. Some burden that you do not want to keep in your life as you journey through the passion and the pain of the crucifixion to the celebration of the resurrection. What you write may be some sin or failing that brings you pain or remorse. It may be some habit or characteristic that oppresses you. It may be some health situation that hampers you or someone you love. It may be some relationship that troubles you. It may be some feeling or emotional state, anger, depression, jealousy, bitterness, disillusionment, hatred, guilt, or shame that dominates you. It may be anything with which you are unhappy. It may be anything that keeps you from knowing the joy and the blessedness of God's love. It may be any weight that burdens you down, that hinders you. It may be anything that you do not want to carry with you anymore and would like to leave it behind with God's help so that you will have more room in your life for God. So when we come to the bread and the cup at the time of Holy Communion, please come with a humble heart and with the piece of paper and fold it, put it in the bowl. And at the end of our communion in the ritual of penitence and liberation, all the papers that we've brought and left, all the weight that hinders, which those bits of paper represent, will be lit with a flame from the Christ candle and reduced to ashes. Reduced as close to nothing as possible. As we leave this service, we'll be invited to a distribution of ashes. These are a sign of our penitence and liberty. These are the reminder that we have left our burdens with God. The ashes are the only load we need to carry to the resurrection. As the reminder that we are loved, we are forgiven, we are born again to a new life, unburdened by what we have left with God. Later on, we'll share the prayer over the ashes. And Nancy, would you lead us in the affirmation of faith?
Yep. Would you please join me in the affirmation of faith? We believe in God who created us as holy his own. We believe in Christ, God's way of coming to us in the flesh. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God's presence with us now. We believe in God's forgiving, healing, shaping grace that ever touches our lives. We believe that by God's grace, we can learn to live as the children of God, faithful and victorious. Amen. And now will you please stand and join me in the hymn number 467, Trust and Obey.
Thank you. You may be seated. As we prepare for Holy Communion, I would like to draw our attention to preparation for Easter that is included with the bulletin as an insert. I'm going to beat the drum really hard about Lent being a time of preparation for Easter. Sadly, our tendency is to focus on our sinfulness rather than our forgiveness. We are forgiven because of what happened on Good Friday, and especially on what we call Easter Sunday. If we stop with the resurrection, you know what we do? Not much, because everybody dies. We don't like that. We don't like that at all. Whether it be somebody we love or ourselves, we don't like that. Resurrection completes redemption. And Jesus invites us to resurrection. The question becomes, how will we experience resurrection now? Most of us have lives that are too full to experience resurrection. We hoard too much. Okay? Lent's the time to prepare for Easter. It's the prelude. The death and resurrection of Christ are true whether I prepare for Easter or not. However, without my heart and life being ready, I may not experience the depth and power of Christ's death and resurrection. So with my brothers and sisters, I commit myself to disciplines for conversion from sin and death to love and life in Jesus Christ. Now, what you have underneath this is a list. It's a suggested list, okay? And the way that it's recommended to use it is to check the ones on the list that you desire or feel prompted to do and circle the ones you decide to do. So basically, I'm asking you to go through the list at least twice. Okay? As you go through these, you'll notice that they are all spiritual disciplines. They are structure that we bring to our life to make us stronger, give us more endurance, give us greater clarity. Spend time in solitude each day. Share it in the Lenten observances on Sundays and at other times. Read a book for inner growth. Susie, what was the one that you just finished? Holy Moments. Okay. That's going to be among my Lenten reading. Okay. The next one is straight from your preacher. Read at least twice through the Gospel of Mark. Begin to keep a journal of prayer concerns, questions, and reading. Focus on thanksgiving rather than asking in prayer. When was the last time you said, God, just thanks? Give yourself a gift of 3 hours to do something I always said I don't have time to do. Find a way to go to bed earlier or sleep in so I get enough rest. Make a list of people with whom I need to be reconciled. Pray for them and let Jesus guide me in my thinking and feeling toward them. Pray the prayer, Lord, take control of my life by. That one's a scary one. Go to all the Holy Week services as an act of love and waiting with Jesus. Take 1 hour to inventory my priorities and plan how I will reorder them. Okay? When I am really bad, what I say to people is, make a list of the 5 most important things in your life. Now make a list of the 5 places you spend the most of your time. Do they match? Give up a grudge or rehearsal of past event. forgive someone who has hurt me. You all have seen me do this, so you can't say you haven't had a model. Okay? Dance your prayers to a favorite tape, CD, hymn, or whatever. Poor Martha, she tries to focus on her playing, but I'm in her peripheral vision, and she says, I know when you're singing, and I know when you're dancing. I know when you're into it. And other promptings, okay? Now, outward and that's the inward and personal stuff. The outward and social disciplines are these, okay? And amongst the things that on my piece of paper, I asked the Lord to take away my being ticked off at the institutional church. Because I'm ticked. Okay? And amongst the reasons I'm ticked is the way that we define social disciplines. All right? Take on some loving task. Plan to visit a shut-in. What's our new name for shut-ins?
Agape friends.
Our agape friends. Okay, weekly. Write a letter of affirmation once a week to a person who has touched my life. Okay, one of my regrets in my life is there is at least a dozen people that I never went back and said thank you. And now they've had their heavenly birthday. Listen and respond to God's call to ministry of service. Go to coffee or dinner with someone you want to know better. Begin to recycle waste from my home and workplace. Y'all do a pretty good job of that. Give blood and recall the cross. And if you already give blood, thank you, because a person like you saved my life. Call a mission to the poor, homeless, abused, and ask, how can I help? Say no to something that's a waste of money and time. Pray to God to help me resist prejudice, racial and all other kinds, and give me the courage to oppose it. Pray to God to help me resist a spirit of criticism, and to control my own tongue, and it should say, out of respect for others and myself. Find a way to live out the baptismal promise to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in the power and liberty that God gives us by. And fill in the blank. What is your spiritual strength? Fill in the blank. And other outward and social promptings. Now, as a way of taking this seriously, I will either share my intentions for Lent with my covenant disciple group at its next meeting. Now, this assumes that we are operating a class system. Okay? Like John Wesley started. Okay? Share my plan with at least one other person and share with that person my experience of Lent during Holy Week. And then sign it. Date it. It's a contract with yourself. Now, I have to do something first because I'm asking you to do it. You may or may not have seen me scribbling up here. One of the things that's part of the tradition of Lent is the ashes have the ashes of a palm from the previous Palm Sunday. Because the people that rejoiced when Jesus came to Jerusalem eventually hung him on a cross. Please, as we consecrate the elements, take the moment to write on your piece of paper Let's remember. Okay, let's remember. So often what happens is we present Jesus as the final judge. Jesus is the final judge. Jesus is also the first redeemer. When we break the bread, okay, and we share Jesus' words, this is my body that's broken for you. That's not judgment, that's redemption. When we take the cup and we drink it, okay, the words that Jesus said in its consecration of the cup is, you need to understand, this is about a completely new relationship between God and all humanity that's going to happen because of what I do now. For me, one of the most hopeful things is Jesus said, you need to know, I'm not going to eat bread or drink from the cup till I do it again when we all get together at Dad's house for the party. I remember the first time that came to me, it was like a revelation of the Spirit. Because so often when I was growing up, it was Jesus the judge, God the judge, okay? Not, okay, yeah, we're going to be separated for a while, but when we get back together, we're going to party. Ours is an open communion. We've shared our confession. We've affirmed our faith. We've given each other assurance of forgiveness. Now is the moment when we come to the bread and the cup. Okay. And the miracle isn't that the bread becomes Jesus, the cup becomes Jesus. The miracle is that because we come to the bread and the cup, we become Jesus. Let's pray. Our blessed Jesus, you have already consecrated the bread and the cup beyond anything that anyone else can do. When we come to the bread and cup, you are totally generous with us. You give us all that we need, especially redemption. We are saved from ourselves. We are saved from the spirits
of the age. We are saved from the evil one and all evil. We are saved because of what you have done. And the good news that you ask us to share with others is they can be saved too. All they have to do is accept the gift. As we come together, O Lord, to the bread and to the cup, somehow make us you, doing your work in your creation for your kingdom. Hear our prayer. Amen. Now let me ask, do you need more time to write? Because if you do, we can just take a minute. If not, what I'd like to ask you to do, we're going to take communion by intention. So if you would take a piece of bread, okay, and then dip it in the cup and eat it. Then your card in the vase, urn, I have not figured out what that is yet, okay? But would you come? We're talking about an avenue to God through Holy Communion. So did Jesus, Rick. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. No? Okay. You're good. Thank you so much. Now, I'm going to vary from the way the program's written, and what I'm going to do, you didn't get communion, did you? The body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Now, I'm going to do a symbolic lighting from the Christ candle, but I have a lighter to do the real deal. And would, thank you. No, you don't have to apologize. And what I'm going to do, Nancy, Martha, I'm going to ask you to do the last hymn while I'm doing this. So you all will be doing something while I'm doing my thing. Okay? No. I will be good. The last hymn, yeah.
The last hymn is number 474, Precious Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you smell the smoke? Y'all, you all really had some stuff to burn. Luann and I both learned the lesson. You stand close, you get singed. Okay, now. It's been a decade since, at least a decade since I've done the blessing over the ashes, and my apologies for reading it. Thank you. I'm so glad. Almighty God, you've created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and our repentance, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, receiving ashes is optional. You don't have to do it, all right? Forehead or hand, if you would. You want your hand, we'll do it. And there won't be a ton of ash, okay? We had a serious fire to put out. Okay? Would you come? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. 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 Your hand or your forehead? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. 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 Did you notice something sitting on the communion table? I'm going to lay it on the back of the pew here. Us moderns don't know what it means to be reduced to sackcloth and ashes. My mom told me a story during World War II when she and her sisters made dresses out of that stuff. Flour bags. Yeah. So, just a touch. Okay. Just a reminder. One of the things that the last several weeks have done for me is they have focused me on the question. It's the one that the character Lonnie Frisbee asks in the movie Jesus Revolution. The question he asked the pastor, how desperate are you? Are you desperate enough to change? Nancy, would you lead us in the benediction?
Will you please stand and join me in the benediction? Generous Father, who has taught us in the life and teaching of your Son the way of true blessedness, and who has shown us in his suffering and death that the path of love may lead to a cross, give us grace to learn these hard lessons, to take up our cross and follow Christ in strength, in patience, and in constancy of faith, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Go in peace. Be safe on your way home.